Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
This will be a very difficult Monday morning for me. I had a very rough weekend, and I'm glad that we can be here for you, and, you know, I'm glad that you guys can be here for us as well. I'll tell you a story, and then I want to tell other stories and talk to the guys and take your calls. So last Wednesday afternoon, my father, who was living in assisted living, was not feeling well, and was taken to the hospital. And they thought he had a blood clot, which he had had prior. And they couldn't exactly figure out what was wrong, and they did testing, and it turned out that he had coronavirus, 87 years old. So obviously the outlook was very bleak. Thursday, things got worse. And the doctor called my mother and said, you know, Mrs. Rothenberg, we're concerned because he's not feeling well. And we're also concerned because this man is lying in a private room watching football from years past. Is that something he would normally do? And my mother said, yes, that's something he absolutely would normally do. So he obviously was coherent to the point that he loved football and was watching old football. And I don't know what games he was watching, but I thought that was a cute story to tell. And we did our show Friday, and certainly with a heavy heart for me. And then my mom called me after the show on Friday, and she told me that my dad had passed away. So it makes it even more difficult right now. And I'll bring the guys in a second. I just wanted to kind of talk to you first, because my family can't be together. We had a graveside funeral, which can be a maximum of five people at this point, which was the rabbis included in one, and my immediate family, me, Sherry, and the boys, who you've all heard about for years and years, and my mom. And that was it. So typically in the Jewish religion now, we would do something called Sit Shiva, which is where people gather around with the family and keep them company, and we can't do that now. So it's, you know, a terrible time for everyone. It's a terrible time for my family, and it's not a time that we can even get comfort from others. So I was asked by management, who has really been lovely to me, with everything happening, as you would expect they would be, and they said, do you not want to do the show on Monday or for a couple days? I said, no, I do. I said, and thought to myself, because this is almost like an extended sitting Shiva with my work family and with the people that love the show and enjoy the show. So I'm sorry for usurping the first amount of minutes, but I just wanted to tell you what was going on in my life and share things as we always do. And, you know, we all share on this show so much, about our lives and about our kids. And we've had people call over the last, you know, God knows how long we've even been doing this now, for 3 weeks, or that we've been locked down, and, people call all the time and say how much they feel a part of our family, and they love hearing about Ben and Alex and Rick's kids and Chris's family and all these different things. And, you know, I wanted to share what's going on with my family because you guys are like a big extended part of it. So, let me bring Rick in and just say good morning, and I hope that you are well, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. And I hope you know how much we love you and how much we've been thinking about you. And I mean, this is something that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks since we've all been, you know, quarantined and everything else. And, you know, we have, you know, 3 hours every day to kind of take our minds away from what's going on. I mean, very similar to what, you know, we as athletes do. I mean, with all the problems going on, if you have, you know, family issues, you know, family members that are sick, or you're having problems with your marriage, you know, the second you walk into that locker room with your extended family, your teammates, you know, it gives you the opportunity to kind of get away from that. And I couldn't help but think about you the entire weekend and what you, you know, were dealing with. And, you know, to listen to you tell that story and obviously hear how emotional you are, gives you an opportunity to reflect. And I hope we hear more stories about you and your dad and how much you love football and the fact that, you know, at his age, dealing with what he was dealing with, you know, for him to take his mind away from it with, you know, what you guys loved and what you guys shared, which was the New York Giants and football. That was a really special story, David. I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah, Dave, first and foremost, I want to give my condolences to you and your family. Our thoughts and prayers have been with you guys ever since we found out about it on Friday afternoon from our assistant program director. But, you know, this to me is just, it brings a realness to the gravity of what we're dealing with in the world with coronavirus. And, you know, I'd like to speak for Rick and our listeners when I say this. You know, all the time we want to be there for our listeners, to be that distraction, to be that escape, Dave. But I just want to let you know that I love you. The listeners love you. Rick loves you. And we want to be here for you today.
Well, I sincerely appreciate that. And I want to tell you guys stories and about, you know, not intimate stories of my dad and I and, you know, special things we've done, although I might do that as well, but just like kind of the sports stories, because it was such a huge part of our life. And I thought, and I emailed everyone this morning, because this is my thought. And, you know, when you go through a time like this, sometimes you're so focused on yourself, I didn't know if it was a good idea or not. And I emailed everyone. I said, what do you think about kind of sharing some of my sports stories that I had with my dad over my lifetime? And then we can all do that. And our listeners can do that. And they can share stories that they've had. And I'd like that. And I think it would make everybody feel comfortable today. And 800-919-3776 is the way that we certainly can do that. And I want to hear the stories. And I know Chris has stories and Rick has stories and everybody has stories, because especially us, and it doesn't have to be you and your dad, by the way. It could be you and your mom or you and your sister, or you and whoever, or it doesn't have to be a dad story. It's just dad that's affecting me now. But, you know, sports is such a wild part of our lives. And I think I've shared this with you. You know, I don't think I was a difficult kid, but I was not the easiest kid, and school didn't really matter to me that much. And I, took a lot of things for granted, and I had a somewhat easy upbringing. And, I took for granted that things would always just be easy, and clearly it's not, but I always thought it would be. But the one thing that my dad and I always, always had was sports. And, you know, the Giants, and Chris, he was such a big fan of you, and just it was such a special thing. And I remember I was 3 years old, 1976 or 77, and I walked into the den, and my other two brothers, who are older than me, have almost no interest in sports. If you said, you know, who is Lawrence Taylor, they might think it was a senator from out west. They have absolutely no idea. But I walked in to the den at 4 years old, and I just saw my dad watching the Giants game, and that like, it was like that moment where you see the girl for the first time, and you just like, that's it. That was it. I fell in love with sports, and the Giants stunk. But my dad watched every game, and we watched every single game together. We used to do this thing. The Giants were so bad. And John Mendenhall in the late 70s was my favorite player. And he was a good player on awful teams. And the amazing thing is, to bring it back to current day, even those awful Giants teams, horrible, had wonderful defenses compared to this current Giants tenure. But we used to do this thing where, because we were so focused on the game, and at the beginning of the game, I would say, you want offense or defense? And he'd say, I'll take defense today. Which meant that every possession on defense, he would stand up right in front of the TV, and I would, as the offensive guy for the day, I would get a chance to sit and relax and gear myself up for when the defense was off the field and the offense would go on the field, and then I would get up in front of the TV and dance around and root crazy hard while he would get that rest during the game. And I remember there was one, it was a playoff game. It must have been in the early 80s. I don't know if it was the Niners or 83 or 84. And he had a friend who was a big Giants fan, and he said, you know, can he come over for the game? And I said, yeah, sure. And I was 10 or 11. So, you know, I didn't know. And he came over for the game. And I just remember it was so weird and so different, and I hated it. And the game ended, and I turned to my dad, and he looked at me, and he's just like, yeah, that's not happening again. And I was like, yes, it's me and you. That's how we're going to watch these games, me and you. So that's what we always did. We always did.
You know what it is too, Dave? And the beauty of sports and the beauty of, you know, your relationship with your dad, your relationship now with Ben and Alex, and I'm sure Chris with his dad and his brothers and mine with, you know, my dad and my son and daughter is, I mean, there's, And I always joke with Milo. I mean, it feels like it's going so fast. He's 5 years old already.
It goes so fast.
And I'm sure that the same thing with Ben and Alex. Like, they'll say things to you during the course of a day or a week about how, you know, they can't wait till they're grown up. And I always remind them, I'm like, just don't grow up too fast. Enjoy being a kid, because when you become an adult, when you get my age, it's not easy. Like, there's a lot of things that go into being an adult. And I think for me being home now, I think everyone being home now, it gives you an opportunity to kind of reflect on, you know, all your different relationships and take stock at, you know, where your relationships are at. Like, how's my relationship with my dad, my mom, my brother? And, you know, when I heard the news on Friday, it really made me think, because I'm sitting here going through all those relationships and, you know, haven't talked to my brother in a while, or, you know, haven't really focused on my relationship with my dad and calling him, you know, a couple times a week or every day just to check in. And you start to take stock of that. And it's like, you know, what kind of argument did I get into that now I'm not talking to my brother? Or, you know, why haven't I, you know, picked up the phone and called my dad? It just all seems so trivial. And the beauty of the sports aspect of this whole thing is it gave you the opportunity, you and your dad, that, you know, regardless of what was going on in your life and school, or, you know, your dad and his life with business and money and everything else, you know, that was the 3 hours that you guys got to set aside to be focused on, you know, rooting for your Giants and experiencing that all, you know, as a family together, which is why I love sports so much.
Yeah, it really was an amazingly bonding experience. And I can tell you, and we were super close, but I don't think we would have been as close without sports. It was just this bond that no matter what happens, and he would be so disappointed. I remember he would come into my room and say, you know, look at your grades. Look at, you know, this is so terrible. And then occasionally, because we used to go to all the Giants games, all the Giants home games, and I would wind up getting in some trouble during the course of the week in school, and he would come in and he would pain, you know, the old saying, like, it pains me more than it pains you. He would come in and he'd like sit on my bed as I was probably pretending to study, and he would say, I can't take you to the game this week. He's like, how am I going to reward you for, you know, for doing this or doing that? And he would take other people. And my mom would say that he would always, you know, after that, say that it's just not the same. It's just not the same. So that's something I'll remember forever, and memories are very strong. And I don't know. That's just kind of where I feel today. And I know people are lined up to talk, and that's really nice. Let me read this quickly there. Everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or your sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. So I thought in remembrance of my dad, and certainly there are a couple of sports stories I do want to get into today, like the Olympics and Wimbledon. Wimbledon has been canceled for this year, which is just unbelievable, because it's not even until July, but it's been canceled. And the Olympics, and like we thought, Chris, we're now going to have the Olympics one year from when it was supposed to be, which feels like it's the exact right move, right, by the Olympic Committee?
Yeah, that makes the most sense, to postpone it and delay it a year. That gives athletes an opportunity to get into their normal training cycles so they can be in peak condition, because this is something that only rolls around every 4 years, the summer game. So you want to make sure that the playing field is as level as possible from a logistics standpoint. Everybody is on an even playing field. So it makes all the sense in the world to postpone it for a calendar year, just so we can pass by this pandemic and get everything back to some degree of normalcy before we start talking about getting large groups of people, large groups of athletes together
right,
to compete in sport. But just to revisit something that you and Rick were talking about, you know, your memories with your dad in sports. My earliest memories as a kid with sports were with my dad. And I remember the only time we were allowed to stay up on weekdays was Monday Night Football and having an opportunity to watch whatever teams was playing. And that was something that I looked forward to doing with my dad. And then to spin it forward to when I was actually playing football at a high level in college and in the pros, my dad was at every single game, whether it was home or away. And I used to really enjoy the away games because it gave me an opportunity to have a sit-down dinner with my dad the night before. And that's something that I will always remember from my pro pro career is just having the opportunity to travel to these different cities and play in these different venues. And for my dad to be a couple of rows back behind our bench everywhere I went. And that's something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And certainly money is great and money is an important part of life. But at the end of the day, those are the bonds that are the things that really, I think, have the most impact. And so you talk about, it's funny, you totally jogged the memory. You talked about Monday Night Football, and this is a funny story. So when you were allowed to stay up for it, I was not. And I was 7 or 8 years old, and the Giants were on Monday Night Football. Now, I don't know if you remember, either of you, Monday Night Football used to start at 9 o'clock, which was, so the game, like a long game would take till 12:30. So I was allowed to stay up typically for the first half, and then I would have to go to sleep. But my dad always promised me, I will write you a note. So the first thing that happens when you wake up in the morning is there'll be a note right next to your bed and you can wake up and see exactly what happened. And I remember thinking, how am I going to wait till the morning? I need to know before that. And I was a kid, so once you fall asleep, like, you're out like a light, right? You sleep so soundly. So I used to, during the first half of watching the game, drink as much water as I could and down probably gallons of water. So I would be awakened by my bladder at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. I could wake up, see the note, pee, and then go to bed.
You were diabolical back then.
I thought it was so brilliant though.
But yeah, now, I mean, now you can, I mean, you go out of your way not to have a drink after.
That's right. Now I can't drink after 8 o'clock at night. But back in the day, I'm guzzling water to wake up and find that note. And then it happened a couple of times. They would be on Monday Night Football. I remember once against the Packers, and I'd be so, like, the second my eyes would open, I would have this thought of, oh God, the note's going to be right there. And this will now affect how my next, 12 or 24 hours is going to be. And I remember they played the Packers, and Lynn Dickey was the quarterback of the Packers. And I looked at the note, and it was like a detailed note. Well, when you went to bed, it was 17-14, and then the third quarter, this and that. And I read the whole thing, and the Giants lost, and it was like Lynn Dickey threw for 337 yards. And I just remember peeing, going back to bed, and be like, damn you, Lynn Dickey. I can't believe you did that to us. And, just being so upset. But, and to be honest, and we're only 15 minutes into the show, and of course we take you to 1 o'clock. Like, it feels good to have these stories in this conversation. So I appreciate you guys appeasing me today. 800-919-3776. Let's get to some of the calls. Let's start with Dave in Edison. Dave, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, I just want to offer my condolences. I'm really sorry.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I want to pivot because when you start talking, I want to tell a story about my father, if you just give me a second. My father grew up, he was a Mickey Mantle fan. And then after Mickey Mantle retired, he really didn't care for baseball. And his father, my grandfather, loved the Mets. So I became a Mets fan. And he would always go around the house singing, beat the Mets, beat the Mets. And then he was a Giants fan, and I became a Cowboys fan. So I think it was 83. Warner Wolf said, if you think the Giants are beating the Cowboys, you believe in the Tooth Fairy? And we were watching the game, and my father's like, I can't take it. I can't take you rooting for the Cowboys. Go upstairs. So my mom was just going nuts, because every time the Cowboys made a play, I'd be cheering upstairs. And the Giants made a play, my father be cheering downstairs. And then my father actually passed away the night the Mets won the pennant in 2015. Mm-hmm. And ironically, his wake that Sunday, the Cowboys played the Giants. Huh. And the next Cowboy beat the Giants. So everybody was like, oh, your father was looking down on the game. But so that was just about about my father.
Well, we appreciate them, and we want to hear a lot of those memories. And Rick, I know you're super close with your dad. I mean, you must have a ton of memories with sports and growing up.
Yeah, I mean, between, one of the memories I told you guys last week, him scalping tickets for us to go see Ron Hextall, and us sitting behind a big giant cement pole, trying to watch the games in the nosebleeds at the Boston Garden, or, what the memories that really stick with me the most, and I kind of joke about him, putting his fingers over his nose if I let in a bad goal or sitting down and all that stuff. It was the time, after games. It was before and after the games, really. And it was before the games, him putting my goalie equipment on because I was too young to have figured it out. And, I mean, mm-hmm. those are the things that he misses the most. And then, after the games, just kind of going through it, good or bad, what he thought, what I thought. It actually, what sports allowed was – you to carve out a certain amount of time. Like Chris brings up the dinner before the game with his dad. Like things get so hectic, man, and everyone's always running around. And the sports allow you to have like that dedicated time where you could just focus on either watching your kid play or, you know, sitting in front of a TV and watching your favorite team play.
No, it does, man, and that's the beauty of it, man, because this is something that, you know, you and your dad can kind of embrace and enjoy together. I mean, the passion that a lot of people have for sports, for competition in this country, but to have that opportunity to share that along with the father-son bond, I mean, it's something that's truly special. I remember in 2008, you know, that was my last year with the Dallas Cowboys, and our regular season finale was in Philadelphia at the link, and my dad's biggest thing was me making it through healthy because he wanted me to get to free agency and try to realize some of my financial goals. And I remember that wasn't a great game for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we lost, I believe it was 44-6. I remember pulled me through as they did with the rest of the Cowboys, and I'm looking back at our bench, my is chanting "Fly Eagles, Fly." I'm like, "Dad, what are you doing?" And my dad is like, "I didn't." At that point, it didn't matter about the team; it just mattered about you. And I wanted to make sure that you were healthy because I realized how hard you worked to get to this point in your career. And that was just one of those things that it wasn't a huge moment for anybody, but it was a special moment for me because, you know, my dad was in my corner and he wanted all good things for me. And it wasn't necessarily about everything that was going on with the team, or that it wasn't about the stadium. It wasn't about anything else other than our relationship and him wanting the best for me. And, you know, you appreciate that. You appreciate having that type of support as you go along in your career. And so just to have the opportunity to play in the professional ranks and for my dad to be a part of that and to see that, that's something that's really, really special.
And I think that the older you get, the more you appreciate the sacrifices and the caring that your father has to you. And I think certainly, Rick, once you have children, it takes it to even an additional level of realizing everything that your parents and your father did for you and have done for you.
Yeah, I think it really puts it into perspective. And, you know, I actually said this too. We had senior night over at Portledge, and I was, you know, they asked, can you say some things about the seniors? And one of the first things I brought up was, I mean, let's stop for a quick second and let's thank the parents, because, I mean, you guys aren't here playing, you know, high school hockey if it's not for your parents. I mean, the time, the money, the sacrifice, the commitment that they've made. You know what I'm seeing? I got 7 a.m. games, you know, in New Jersey for a 5-year-old, and I can't wait. Like, I'm up, I'm ready to go. He's ready to go. You know, my dad, speaking of dads in memories, I mean, my dad still dates to this day. I'll call him on the weekends. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just watching one of your BU games, or I'm watching one of your, you know, your USA games. Like, he'll just sit at home and just watch. You know, he bought a VHS player just so he could watch old games. I mean, that's how much he enjoyed, and that's how much he misses it. And I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people that feel exactly how we feel about that relationship. But I think the other thing too is why sports is so important, and a lot of, you know, with the father-son dynamic is, I mean, let's face it. I mean, for the most part, men don't communicate well, right? Like, I mean, to have, no, we don't.
I mean, no, I could not agree with you more.
It's the truth.
My wife yells at me every day. She's like, you talk 3 hours and you open up to everyone on the radio, and then I ask you questions about things and you give me 2-word answers. How does that happen?
I know it, but it just happens. Like, it's in our DNA. Like, we don't communicate well. And I think to have, you know, that bond with your dad over sports, you know, going to baseball games, sitting and watching football, whatever it is, it always gives you something to talk about. You know, like it gives you this, you know, thing outside of, you know, your normal everyday relationship that you can actually sit back and you can share and you can talk about. And because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm seeing it with Milo. He's 5 years old. Like, there are things that he likes that I don't necessarily, like, I'm not that interested in. And, you know, you try to be, but you're just not. Like, I mean, we're different. As much as you want to be the same as your kids, I mean, they're different. But the fact is that, you know, with the Giants for you and your family, that's something that you all have in common. That's something that you can sit and watch and talk about and share. And I think that's really, I mean, That's probably the reason. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're sitting here, and we can't wait to get some sports on television to give
absolutely.
Us, you know, give us something to talk about and enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you talk about the father-son relationship when you get to that certain age, and you're certainly not there yet. And I'm kind of getting there with Ben a little bit, not terribly, but there's those, you know, he doesn't want to share everything with me. He doesn't want to tell me about all the girls at school. He doesn't want to, you know, tell me about what's going on when he goes out with his friends all the time. But the one thing that's constant is he'll always ask me about, you know, was Vince Carter really this good? Like, was able to, and just, so it's that, I don't know, it's just that dialogue that never goes away. Like, he's never fearful to, or thinks, and of course I would never judge him, and I welcome him to talk to me about anything, but he doesn't want to, and I get that. But the one thing that never goes away is sports. Like, he'd never walk into a room and be like, can I ask my dad about Daniel Jones? Or, like, that never goes away, and that's amazing. It's an amazing bond. And I'm telling you guys, if you took sports out of the family dynamic, the family dynamic would be much, much different.
It is different, Dave, and with this pandemic going on and us not having an opportunity to talk about the sports that we watched the night before, it changes the conversation a little bit. I know when I talk to my dad every single morning on my way into work, you know, one of the things that we talk about is what's going on with the New York Giants or what's going on with the New York Knicks or what's going on with the local baseball teams, because my dad, even though he wasn't born in the tri-state area, he fancies himself as a New Yorker, having lived here for over 30 years, so to have that opportunity for him and I to just talk about sports, it gives us a chance to just to talk about something that we're both really interested in. And as Rick alluded to earlier, men aren't good communicators, but that's always something that my dad and I have that we can always talk about. And so now with everything going on and not having any other distractions because we're all forced to quarantine at home, it makes you take stock of everything in your life and the relationships that are most important to you. And for me, it's my dad, and it's kind of interesting when we have conversations. It's not that it's weird, because, you know, we have other things we talk about, but the thing that we primarily talk about is sports, and to not have that be a part of it, it definitely changes things. But, you know, this is one of those times, Dave, so what's going on, you realize what really is important in your life, and that's the people that you love and you hold dearly. And, you know, we just want to be here for you. I know this is something that's not easy, and a lot of people don't have the words. I don't have the words, but I guess the best thing that I can do is tell you that I love you, and I'm thankful that I can be on this show with you here today as we talk about some of your most cherished memories that you've had with your father.
Well, it means a lot to be able to share with you guys. It really does. 800-919-3776. So we'll continue to share memories of mine and of Rick's and Chris's and yours as well. I want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Today on ESPN Daily, we don't know when baseball's going to return, but let's dream about its future. Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer gets real with MLB insider Jeff Passan on how MLB can make the most of its comeback. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. So obviously I've been a little busy over the weekend, and I did not get a chance to watch season 3 of Ozarks. But Chris, are you all done with it now? Have you watched all of season 3?
Yes, Dave, I've completed season 3 of Ozarks, and I will say that you are in for a huge surprise in the way that this season ends. It was outstanding. Also had an opportunity to finish up the last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is hilarious to say the least. Larry David is a genius. That coming up with the Spite Store, that was phenomenal.
You know, it's funny, I haven't seen any of the season except I just stumbled upon like moments of that episode. It's so good. I mean, he is an absolute comedy genius. He really is.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Dave. Pretty good. It's hard to beat. I mean, I know we don't have sports, but that's plenty of content right there to dive into.
And are you caught up on Ozarks, Rick? There's no way you watched 10 episodes this weekend, right?
No, I've watched none. No, I was trying to finish up on The Tiger King.
Oh, did you finish it?
I got one episode left.
Are you loving it?
Last episode, I watched episode 6, which is the second last. It was, I mean, episode 6 was okay. First 5 were better. I mean, have you watched any of it yet?
Not a minute of it yet.
Yeah, you won't believe it. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't. It's impossible.
But I will say this, Rick, I'm here for all the Tiger King memes. I'm here for all of them. They're hilarious.
I got a good Tiger King.
I haven't watched
today's
any of them yet either.
Today's not the day to do it. I got a good Tiger King game for tomorrow.
A game?
Yeah, Tiger King game. Yeah,
nice. Have you seen it, Chris?
I have not watched 1 second of the Tiger King, Dave, but I'm going to dive into it at some point this week.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is we're going to have time to do it. 800-919-3776. So, yesterday we found out we're on lockdown basically through it at least the end of April. So whatever show you want to binge or conversation you want to have, you're going to have time to do that. 800-919-3776. We're talking, if you're just tuning in, and I hate to like reset like this. It's awkward and awful. But my father passed away right after the show, literally minutes after the show on Friday. And I spent the weekend dealing with family stuff as closely as we could. And we had the funeral graveside yesterday where only five of us could attend, and it was awful. But it brings me a lot of memories of him and the sports memories that I have with him. And that's kind of where we are pushing the show today, about the sports memories you have with your, and I don't even want to say father because that seems unfair, but your parent or whoever you have that, you know, special sports memory with, if it's a grandparent or whoever it is. It doesn't have to be pigeonholed specifically to your dad. Let's go to Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're next up on 98.7
ESPN. Hey guys, how y'all doing?
We're hanging in there, Emmanuel. What do you got today, buddy?
First off, I always want to say my hearts and prayers goes out to you and your family, Dave, for this very difficult time. And also want a prayers for James Dolan, who has the coronavirus, as well. So prayers for him and his family. One of my best sports memories, believe it or not, was the Knicks when I was like 4 years old in 1999, when they went to the finals. Me and my dad was watching the Larry Johnson shot, and he shot over a three, and everybody was jumping, including myself and my dad, because I had no idea at the time the Knicks were the eighth seed, and it was kind of excitement. And then the last couple of years, I take my brother and I to Yankee games during Memorial Day weekend. My favorite was my first time at Yankee Stadium. I think it was 2 years ago, back in 2018, that the Yankees won. I think they won, and then we took pictures with everybody, particularly the Navy SEAL, and we went home to the bus to train, because I never took the train to the Bronx before. And it was a great feeling, and
Well, listen, I hate to do this to you, Emmanuel. You're kind of breaking up there, but it's nice to hear about some of your special memories. My dad, Rick, hated the Yankees. Oh my God, did he hate the Yankees? He detested them. He was actually a New York Giants baseball fan back in the day, and then they moved to San Francisco, and he gave up on baseball. And I got so into the Mets in '85 that he kind of fell in love with the Mets, and we got to experience that in '85 and '86. It was nowhere near the Giants connection that we had, but through this season, he would every single game he'd be in the assisted living, and 7 o'clock at night, he'd be done with dinner, back to his room, and watch the Mets game, or watch it on tape, he was basically living the life that we're living now for a long time, when you're just kind of hauled away and there's not a lot to do. So he would watch the game. If they won it, he'd watch it again. He'd watch it the next morning. Like he spent a lot of time watching baseball and watching the Mets recently.
Isn't that funny though? I know you kind of joke telling the stories where you would show the kids, a Dallas Cowboys helmet and say, this team is bad.
Yeah.
Or would make things up. But it's funny because Milo does the same things now. Like we'll be watching a game or, he may be, and Dick's always gets me because they have all the little stuff, all the trinkets when you check out. So I got, the goalie helmets and the baseball helmets and everything else. But like, just randomly out of nowhere, like he'll just walk up with one of the goalie helmets and one of the baseball helmets and be like, "You like this team, Dad?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, they're okay." Or, "You like this team, Dad?" It'll be the Yankees or the Rangers. I'm like, "No, I don't, we don't like those teams." So then all of a sudden it'll come on TV, like during like last baseball season, like the Yankees will be on TV and he's like, "Oh, Dad, I hope the Yankees are losing." I'm like, "That a boy. That's what I'm talking about.
That's nice. That's very important." I used to tell, I had a friend that used to. I told her this, and she's like, "You're doing what?" I used to tell her, Chris, I was like, if you ever run into a member of the Dallas Cowboys in the street, they push you right down. I said, they'll just throw you down onto the ground to make him just to test the Cowboys. So I would ask him, I was like, "What do you think about the Cowboys?" He's like, "Dad, I hate the Cowboys." I said, "Why?" He goes, "Because they'll push you down."
That's hilarious, Dave. That is hilarious.
I'm a special individual.
I do. By the way, though,
you
Dave.
Are, but,
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris. By the way, I think the point that you made in the first hour of the show, we didn't really touch on it. That was a really good point. I mean, and you're probably dealing with little pieces of this now because your kids are getting older. I mean, you just had the beautiful bar mitzvah that, mm-hmm. that Peter Rosenberg helped contribute to.
Yep, narrowly, yes.
But, I mean, the reality at some point, I mean, as your kids get older, they want to spend less and less time with you. They want to do their own thing. They want to go hang with their buddies. You know what I mean? And it, I haven't experienced this yet, but now this, I'm sitting here for the last hour and, you know, 8 minutes thinking about my relationship with my dad. It's because your kid needs you to drive them to sports, because your kid loves when you watch them play sport. You know what I mean? It's like it has you, it allows you the ability to hang on a lot longer than you probably would have. You know what yeah. I mean? Spending time.
Absolutely. And it's you know, it's funny because, and he doesn't thank me often, you know, the 5 o'clock in the morning, Sunday games out in, you know, baseball heaven and God knows where up at Rock Nation or wherever it is. But occasionally we'll come back and be exhausted. He'll play three games and, you know, I've driven 2.5 hours each way and you're shot and you know, fall asleep or whatever. And he'll thanks dad. Thanks for driving me. And I always think inside, like, you have no idea how good, like, there is nothing I would rather be doing than driving you to these things. So you take the compliment, right? But, right, and you probably feel the same way. Now, I don't know if Milo's at the age even yet where he'd be like, thanks for driving me, Dad, and spending all the time. But at some point he's going to get there, but you have no idea when they say that to you. And my thought always is, thank you for playing baseball and allowing me and including me and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a really special bond to sports is, I you guys have to feel the same way. And I'm not saying it's the most important bond out there, but it is the one thing that just, it connects generation to generation. It never goes away.
It takes me back to a conversation we had with Dr. Oz when he came in studio and he talked about how human beings are inherently tribal. And that's why you see such strong affiliations with sports teams and people take their fandom so seriously. It's because this is what they're passionate about. This is where they're going to align themselves with. And they're always going to live and die with their team. And so to be able to connect on that level and to have that common passion for a respective sports team, I think that's something that everybody relates to, Dave, because of how we're made, because of how we're wired. So, you know, I think that's why when we start talking about sports, it's something that everybody can talk about and have a conversation about because it's something that everybody relates to.
Yeah, but it's just so amazing because you think, okay, if Graham Gano kicks this 63-yard field goal, a football through like they say in Coming to America, through oblong goalpost, now, if he makes that kick, the rest of my day is miserable. But if he misses that kick, now I can absolutely celebrate. It's just, it's, and I love it, but it's amazing the amount of life-changing moments that you have based on whether a guy can, you know, cross the goal line or whether Pete Carroll calls a run or a pass at the right time. It's just, it's remarkable to think how the little minutiae of sports has such a huge impact on everybody, Rick, on all the people that are probably listening to the show right now.
Yeah, but the more you sit here and talk about it, the more we go through, you know, the memories of your dad, the more it makes sense to, I think, everyone that's listening, you know, why the Giants have such an emotional effect on you. Because, I mean, you grew up in a house where your dad loved the Giants and it affected him. And because it affected him, either good or bad, it now affects you. I mean, you have an emotional attachment to the New York Giants that, I mean, was passed on from your dad.
And yeah,
that's
but
why,
and
I mean,
it's true. But he loved them, but my love for them brought his love for them to a completely different level. You know, like just my absolute fascination and adoration and willing to just do whatever it took to be the biggest Giants fan brought his level up, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense. I mean, because it was something that you shared, though. I mean,
yeah.
There's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that there's not many, you know, many things that... I mean, your dad had you at 40. Like, there's not a lot of similarities. Like, there's not a lot of common interests when, you know, your dad's 40 and... or dad's 50 and you're 10 years old, you know? But, I mean, the fact that you had the Giants, that was something that you guys had in common. That every Sunday, Monday, or whenever it was, you'd turn on the television and you could sit there for the 3 hours, and then for the rest of the week, you'd have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he passed at 87. I almost killed him back in 1991. It was the first game of the season. The Giants had just won the Super Bowl, and it was the same day. And if you guys remember this, Jimmy Connors was going on that crazy run in the U.S. Open, and he was actually playing Aaron Krickstein on Labor Day afternoon. And we had to get to the Giants-Niners game at Giants Stadium for Monday Night Football. And the match was taking forever. And he's like, we got to go. I was like, just wait. Let's watch one more game, one more point, one more of this. Because that's what my whole life really is. It's Sherry, just give me, I go, one more inning, one more out, one more this, one more half, one more possession, one more timeout. It's just, that's my life. And he's like, we got to go. I said, just one more point, one more service game, one more. And the match was one of the great matches of all time. Connors came back to win in five sets. And we were so late leaving to the Giants game. So he drove like crazy. We're on the GW. He's in and out. He beat the Cross Bronx, I think, that day, Rick. And we get to the stadium, and it's like, Dad, the game starts in 9 minutes, and we have to run through the parking lot. Now, that's 91, so he's well into his 50s. We run through the parking lot, up the huge escalators, and our seats that day were way up high in the 300s, way up high. And I was like, let's go. So we're taking this like it's two-a-days at Alabama, Chris, running up the top rung at Giant Stadium all the way up. And we get to our seats and we sit down and they're just kicking off. And I look at him. This man is drenched in sweat. Like his head is just sweat is pouring off him. And I looked and he's like and so we made it. He's like, I'm so angry at you right now. He says, I can't believe you made me do that. And Matt Barr kicked the game-winning field goal, and the Giants won at the buzzer. And it was a disappointing season. I think they went 8-8 that year under the great Ray Hanley. But, yeah, that was another one of those ridiculous, unbelievable stories. Kevin in West Orange. Kevin, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Kevin, you're on the air, man.
Hey, Dave. I'm sorry. I got to get off speaker. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right, Kevin. God, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, my condolences to you and your family. This is the first time I've ever called you guys, so
thanks for reaching out and making the call.
Nearly every day. I was just, I was just calling to share a memory of mine. Like, I remember, growing up, it makes me emotional because, I recently lost my grandfather. And he was, the best person I ever knew. Mm-hmm. And we would wake up because we would look at cricket at, 2 o'clock in the morning being played in, Pakistan or India or Sri Lanka or something. And we would wake up and, he'd wake me up at, 2 o'clock in the morning. And, he would say, shh, don't tell anybody I'm waking you up. You have school today. I'm like, okay. And then he put me back to bed at 5:30 and act like nothing ever happened. But, that's just one of the memories that made us really close.
Yeah, it's a beautiful memory, and I'm sorry it, brings you to such an emotional state. But thank you for the call. And we all have that. And Rick, I remember, and I don't even know if you remember this. So when preseason football used to be on tape delay. Do you remember that? It was in your local market only, and it was on tape delay.
No, I don't remember that, no.
So I'm, 8, 10, probably 12. And I think Joe Namath used to do the Giants games on either Channel 9 or Channel 11. And my dad and I would avoid the score at all costs, preseason, not pay attention to any score. And it was easier back in the day because there was no internet and no streaming and the phone. You just basically had to avoid answering the phone and the news. And they would show it. It would start at, 11 or 11:30. And I would sneak into the den and turn on the TV and watch the game. And before the game would ever kick off, he would sneak into the den also. And we would watch the kickoff of the game and watch preseason football with Joe Namath. I forget who was the play-by-play guy. Calling Giants and whoever it was. Then, of course, we'd get to the third preseason game, which was the Jets, which was like the Super Bowl of the preseason. So then we'd be in the den at 11:15, and we'd have snacks and be all sorts of excited. But, the amazing thing is these are stories that I probably haven't thought about when people call and say, oh, I used to do this, and my grandfather would wake me up at 2 o'clock to watch cricket. It's like, oh, my God, I have that memory also. It really is. It really kind of, Rick, conjures up all these deep-rooted, deep-seated memories that you have when you're a kid.
Yeah, and they're good memories. I mean, these are memories that, I mean, you know, otherwise that, you know, you probably wouldn't even have thought about. You know what I mean? Like, it's the ability to connect with the audience, have them tell some of their stories. And, I mean, it was the question that you asked. I mean, is it us sitting here for 3 hours talking sports, or is it us talking sports with, you know, our kids and our wives and, you know, your personal experiences thrown in that people like? And I think it's the right mix of both. And the fact that, you know, when you're going through what you're going through and you can sit and kind of reflect and have some of these stories that you never even remembered all of a sudden come up is, I mean, it's awesome. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm happy you guys are here with me. Coach Mike W. tweets in, "My condolences. I've never called, but I listen frequently. I love this show today. What life is truly about. Lots of life lessons happening on the show today." So it's nice that we can actually break through and make that connection with everybody. Now, there are certainly other things going on in the world and everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. The message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go to Dave in Long Island. Dave's been on the phone for an hour and 15 minutes, and we appreciate it. Good morning, Dave.
How we doing, fellas? How we doing? Dave, just want to say apologies for your loss. I'm going to go down the list of everybody. Canty, you made me happy when the Giants won the Super Bowl. Thank you very much. DiPietro, I like you too as well. I'm a Ranger fan, but I'm a goalie. I remember seeing your gear in Iceworks, and I was like, that's just cool to see an NHL player. And Dave, you make me not look crazy when the Giants lose or anything like that with the whole treadmill situation. So I just wanted to say all that. But the one thing that I do want to say about a memory with my father that I have is March 28th, I became a Duke fan. When Christian Laettner hit that shot, we were at what was at the Radisson Hotel, okay, which is now Jake's 58, at my father's 40th birthday party. I remember that like no tomorrow, because I said, let me just pick this team. And I have been a diehard Duke fan ever since. So the memories of your father in sports, you know, I had a chance to coach with my father on his high school team that he had at Longwood. Those memories last forever. Those memories last forever. And Dave, you will have those memories forever, man. And I just want to, again, apologize, but just understand, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're doing this show, because it's just amazing to hear you go and be here right now at a time where you could not be here right now. And I gladly appreciate it. And I love all three of you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. All right. Bye.
No, it's very nice, Dave. I greatly appreciate the phone call. You know, you realize how it connects generations. Sports connects society. It connects generations. And it's always this thing, Chris, where, well, it's the escape. And now we don't even have the escape with what's going on in today's world. So it's such a weird, I mean, this is uncharted territory, right? We talk about it with business and finance and everything and going to work. And that's true, but that's like real world stuff. We actually lose our escape now moving forward for quite a period of time. So this is a very different new normal right now.
No, it's a very different new normal, Dave. But the one thing that I will say is that we're all dealing with this new reality, and we all are going through withdrawal and not having the sports as the distraction for us. So it's something, again, that connects us through sports, because we're all feeling the same things. Right. We don't have the opportunity to celebrate the highs of our team doing well or the lows when our team disappoints us. We don't have that anymore, but we're all experiencing not having that. So I think this is just another one of those things that we take a step back and we look at and we say, okay, this is one of those commonalities that connects all of us. We can all relate to this. And so we're in it together. I know they have the campaign that says alone together, and everybody's supposed to be in quarantine at their homes, and we're all experiencing similar things. But I mean, this is another one of those things that we have that's going on, and as a result of the pandemic, but we also know that we're not alone in this situation.
Let's go to Chris and Cape May. Chris, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, first, of course, condolences, Dave. But as the caller before said, this is really a fantastic show. It really is. It seems to fit into the times we're in, and it makes you reflect on things that are really important. I'm going to give you the dad's perspective because I've gone through every one of the stages. I'm 60 and I have a 30-plus-year-old son, and sports has been such a big part of our lives. I told you this story once before, Dave. When he was about five, I sat him down because I could tell he really liked sports, and I had a receipt from a supermarket or something. And I said, you know, you seem to really like sports. And he said, I do. I love sports. I said, well, you know, Keith, in this house, we have the certain teams we watch. I said, we watch the Yankees, we watch the Rangers, we watch the Knicks, and we watch the Dallas Cowboys. I said, now, you don't have to watch those teams, but I'll probably have to take you back to the hospital with this receipt here and get a kid who will watch those teams. And that started our bond of watching those teams. Like, it's incredible. Like I said, he's in his 30s now. And most of we text every day, and usually the text starts out with something, you know, that involves sports. You said something that was really, really on mark, you know, and then Rick alluded to it before. You know, your kids get older, you know, you don't want them hanging around the house. You want them out socializing, not now, of course, you want them out socializing with friends and making relationships. But you always had that one thing to come to. You know, we never missed a Cowboy game together when he was, you know, before he went away to college. You know, when Aaron Boone hit the homer against the Red Sox, he was at URI, called me at whatever it was, 11:30, 12 o'clock. I could hear the pandemonium in the background, but he still thought to call me, you know. And it's just, you just can't, I couldn't imagine what it would be like not to have that. So, you know, I listen to the things. I'm a maniac like you. You know, I feel the same way after a Cowboy loss. I'm miserable for the entire week. So I get where you're coming from. The only difference between you and me is we just root for different teams. The rest of it's all the same. So, you know, I wish you and your family the best getting through this. And, you know, thanks for doing what you're doing today.
Yep. Well, thank you for the phone call. It means a lot. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere you go, which hopefully is not too far. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. MLB The Show 20. It's finally here. 98.7 ESPN is your chance to hit a home run. Batting, pitching, fielding, all been updated to show off your quick thinking and precision moves. And for the first time ever, full minor league rosters are in MLB The Show 20. For a chance to win your copy, text MLB Show, that's MLB Show, to 44202. We'll select 10 winners on Monday, April 13th. Again, text MLB Show to 44202. MLB The Show 20, what your baseball dreams are made of. Welcome to the show, rated E for everyone. Get it now at theshow.com. So this is certainly been a weird show for me, and an unexpected show, and not a show that I ever hoped to do. But, you know, in the trade, Rick, we start the show and we typically lead with something, and then we'll get back to it later, and we kind of have to reset it. Unfortunately, the reset today, which is very sad for me, is on Friday right after our show. My father passed away, and we spent the weekend arranging, and yesterday had a very, very small funeral at the graveside, and weren't allowed to go within 6 feet of anyone, and it was unbelievably surreal. And, you know, I have so many amazing sports memories with him, and we kind of got together before the show and thought it would be a nice tribute and a fun thing, and to, you know, not even for me, but to bring everyone that listens together, to bring us together by kind of reflecting on the stories that you have. And again, it doesn't have to be your dad. It could be a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or your mom or whoever it happens to be. And I got to tell you, Rick, I think we've had incredible traction with that kind of our conversation here today.
I think it's been unbelievable. And it's funny, he's just sitting here at home doing the show, which is weird to begin with, you know, not being in the studio with you guys. But it was funny, Cassie actually walked into the studio, and she started telling me stories about, you know, her and her dad in the sporting events and going to watch, you know, watch the Tampa Bay Rays, going to watch the Lightning. They love the Lightning, and they used to share that together. So, I mean, it's sports brings, for any sports fan, I mean, you think about it, and it's funny actually listening to you and you relive them, because I know Chris and I have certain sports memories, either, you know, games that we went to or games that we played in. But I think I almost speak for both of us. I don't think I remember them as vividly as you remember those moments.
Yeah, but I think that is because you guys, like, lived the moments, you know, and I kind of lived the moments with him. Like we watched the others play where you guys did the playing and had your parents watch you. So I don't know if that makes it any different from us, Chris. Does it?
I don't know that you can appreciate it when you're in it, Dave. Not to the level that you can as a fan when you're watching right. it. And you know, when you're a player, you're focused on doing your job and trying to be the best at it. And you've got tunnel vision. You can't appreciate the entirety of the moment. You can't feel the full gravity of it. But when you're a fan, when you can take a step back, when you can actually watch it and be there and see it happen in real time, I think it's a different perspective. And that's why you probably remember it so vividly and you have those emotions that you and your dad experience when you're going through that. But, you know, for me, it's just one of those things that you're reminded of how fortunate you are to have the opportunity to have your parents in your life and to have those sports moments with them and to share in those moments. Because I remember playing with some of my teammates that didn't know their fathers, that didn't know their parents, you know, and so it's just situation that I was always reminded when my dad would be there after the games that, you know, I was fortunate enough to have my dad to be around and to be a part of making those memories with me. And then with you sharing what you've been going through, you know, in light of your dad passing, it just takes me back to thinking about how blessed I am to have my father be a part of those moments and to really know that I'll have that the rest of my life.
Yep, they are very special moments. I want to take this call because I think it's going to impact all of us. Let's go to Joe and Patchogue. Joe, you're next up on 98.7.
Hello?
Joe, I want to go to – can we go to Joe? Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Joe and Patchogue, you're next up on 98.7.
Well, that was confusing, guys. Hey,
you're on with us, Joe. Sorry.
I wanted to call and say, first of all, I love the show and you guys every day. Dave, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm actually on the two-year anniversary of losing my brother, and we used to go to the Giants-Cowboys game in Texas every year. So those memories are something I'll always have and treasure, and it was just amazing. But I also wanted to say, you know, I'm a police officer in the city. I'm actually going to work right now, and I wanted to comment on what you guys said before about how, you know, you're in your home studios and what you're doing is not a big deal, and that's just completely not true. The front lines of this thing, and you know, being at work is chaos. Being at home is chaos. I got a 1-year-old at home. I don't want to get my family sick. So the only normalcy I have is driving to work and listening to you guys. You guys are the lone constant through this whole thing. So please don't undersell what you guys are doing, because it's very important to all of us to have that little bit. I mean, just to be able to sit in my car and lose myself a little bit and, you know, laugh along with you guys is hugely important and gets me through the day. So I just wanted to say thank you to you guys for that.
Well, we're not going anywhere. We're here for you, Joe. And honestly, I speak on behalf of all three of us. Thank you, because you honestly are the real hero in all of this, and people like you and the doctors and nurses and police. And so thank you from all of us, Joe. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you.
And stay safe, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. That was a wonderful call. I mean, this is what the show does. You know, in times of misery, it's amazing how much it brings us together, Rick.
Yeah, it is, Dave. And in getting calls like that, I mean, you can't get much better than that. I mean, he can say what he wants and I appreciate that. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I know we're bringing some normalcy to, you know, to his life, but I mean, we're kind of sitting here in a bubble. I mean, we're not doing what
we're not risking anything.
Doing. No, we're not risking anything.
We're risking nothing.
I mean, just think, he's got a 1-year-old kid. I mean, He's out doing his job. And then, I mean, the chaos that he's dealing with at work and then trying to go home. Actually, I mean, I just saw it. I've turned into a humongous mush anyway. I mean, I'm crying again this weekend watching another Onward, you know, another movie with Milo. I started crying in that too. But I saw a video. I don't know if it was a still or a video of one of the doctors who's in the middle of this thing, and he doesn't want to get his family sick, so he doesn't go in the house. So he actually has to see his little child through the sliding glass door. Like they don't open it. He just stands outside the door and kneels down, and kind of that's as much interaction as he's able to have with his kid right now.
It's tough. I mean, but everybody has their thing, right? Whether you have a parent that's a couple of miles away and you can't see, or, you know, the father that can't go near his son, or God forbid. And I just had to deal with this, you know, parents in the hospital and you can't be there with them. It's everyone is experiencing those moments and those strange moments. And I mean, it's really tough, and everyone has their different level, Chris, of what they're going through, but there's no one that is having an easy time with this at all.
No, everybody is affected, Dave, and I think that's the one thing that we realize as more and more information comes out. I mean, you usually talk about, you know, being far away from a situation and hearing about it, but it not really impacting anybody that you know in your circle. Whereas when we start talking about this pandemic, I think everybody knows somebody that is affected by it. Somebody has had to deal with the harsh realities of this terrible virus. And so I think that when we start having these conversations around it, people can relate and people can connect, because, you know, everybody is experiencing, you know, something similar. And so, I mean, while we're going through this scary time, I think one of the things that's come out of this is that, you know, ultimately we all are connected by the things that we value and we cherish and we hold closest to us. And that being the relationships with our loved ones. And I think that's what we do on this show. We allow a safe space for all of those things to be talked about and to come out. And I think that's what's really special about you doing what you've done today and powering through this and talking about dealing with the loss of your father, because everybody can relate to that.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of things that we talk about that everyone can relate to, right? We'll talk hockey and you'll get the people, I don't like hockey. We'll talk Knicks. The Knicks stink. Why are you talking Knicks? Or we'll talk Nets and, well, the Nets are irrelevant, or Giants. I'm a Jets fan, or vice versa. But almost everyone that listens to our show, Rick, has a sports connection. And almost everyone that listens to our show has it with a parent or a sibling or an aunt or a grandparent or an uncle. And I think that's why today's show, at least to me, and maybe I'm wrong because I'm obviously very close to it, that's why today's show for me feels like such an important show for everybody.
Yeah, I think, I mean, some of your most powerful, I mean, either good or bad. I mean, when you couldn't be happier, or you couldn't be more miserable because your team lost. I mean, that's some of your, most of my memories revolve around sports. They do. And I think the other great thing about sports is, and you mentioned, you know, hockey fans, you know, if we don't talk enough hockey, we'll get yelled at. Or if we're talking too much Knicks, the Nets fans get. I mean, it's the great thing about sports is it naturally just creates conversation. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great way. I mean, I think the biggest thing I've noticed throughout this, you know, time being quarantined is a lot of what you miss is your ability to socialize, right? Like, I just, by nature, we're a social, I mean, we want to socialize with people, and, you know, not being able to, you know, go to dinner with your friends or whatever it is, like whatever you like to do socially. I mean, it's been hard, but the one thing about sports is it gives you, it always feels like it gives you something to talk about. I mean, just think about, Chris, you brought up a great point, like some of the conversations you had with your dad. Like, you know, I talked to my dad a bunch of different times, but it's like when there's no sports involved in the conversation, it I don't want to say it's an awkward conversation, but there's not a ton to talk about, really. I mean, it's like, hey, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Because all our days are almost, it's like Groundhog Day. Like our days, when you're an adult, like the days usually are pretty much the same. And you call me, like, hey, how you doing? Good. Everything okay? Okay. What do you have for dinner? All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Like they're not great conversations. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but when you have sports, it's instant. It's the instant topic, right? I mean, it's oh, the Knicks, they, you know, 34 from this or this, or the golfing, or just it's so many different avenues that can give you conversation pieces with someone that's close to you.
Yeah, I mean, that really spawns the conversation. Like, usually, like, if, I mean, it's almost, you know, almost April, so, you know, we'd be gearing up. My dad loves golf, so we'd be gearing up for, you know, the Masters. He's a maniac golfer. Like, if it could be snowing out, he'd go golfing. Like, this would be the time where he starts peppering me with golf questions and everything else, and he can't play. We're not watching golf, so, I mean, I kind of miss that. I mean, he'd be telling me about how, you know, he wants to break his 5-wood because he stinks or he doesn't know how to putt, and we're not talking about that stuff right now.
No, we're not talking about it, and it seems like it's going to be a while before we have sports. It's hard to believe that we're just in the third week of this shutdown, and, you know, based on everything that I've been seeing and hearing on the news, it feels like this is going to go at least through April. I think the one thing that we did have over the weekend that could be the light at the end of the tunnel is Mark Cuban talking about how he hopes that the NBA returns in May. But I mean, that's a best case scenario type of thing. We're still going to have to deal with weeks and weeks of not having sports. And that's just something that we've never seen before in this country.
It really is incredible. It really, doesn't every day, Rick, feel like a week and a half?
Yeah, I mean, it does. Which is funny because the weekend doesn't. The weekend felt like it flew by. And then, like, during the course of the week, it's like you're staring at the clock and it doesn't feel like it's moving.
Yeah, no, it takes a long time to get through these days now. Let's go to Keith in the Bronx. You're next up on 98.7. What's up, Keith?
What's up, y'all? How you doing? Dave, sorry for your loss. Everybody talking about their father. I want to talk about my mother. She, we played a one-on-one. I must have been fifth, sixth grade. And I let her get to game point. And then, you know, I ran off my points and I ended up winning the game. And she got mad at me. She told me, she said, "You did that on purpose. You could have did that a long time ago." I was like, "All right, well," but she was mad at me. And then after that, I played Little League. You know, everybody played Little League. And we had, you know, she used to come to the games. And then there was, when I started coaching Little League, I invited her to, you know, watch her grandkids play. She watched the grandkids play. After the game, she tells me, "Man, I hated when you used to play baseball." I was like, "What? I thought you loved coming to the games." It was horrible. I thought she liked coming to watch me play. She said, "I like watching you play, but I hated baseball." Listen, I can go on and on. My father's not here no more, and I got a whole lot of stories I can tell you about my father and what we used to do. But keep doing what y'all doing. Love y'all. And Dave, take it easy. Bless you and your family.
Thank you, Keith. It means a lot. I can't tell you how many. And Rick, you're there. I mean, little league baseball. Oh, it is a chore to sit through those games.
Yeah, it isn't easy. It absolutely 100% is not easy. But I mean, it's just an excuse to spend more time with your kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And just think about. But I mean, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, though, too, and the three of us are lucky. I mean, Chris still has his dad. I mean, your dad was 87. I still have my dad. But, I mean, how important that relationship really is in dictating who you become as a man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a humongous relationship in a boy's development is the relationship he has with his dad.
Probably the biggest, right? You'd have to say.
I mean, the more you read about it, I'm trying to read as much as I can on it just because, you know, of Milo and everything else. And when you read some of this stuff and then you have a day like today when you start thinking back of the memories of your dad and some of the things, you know, you experienced with him, it's crazy because then, I mean, you'll be in the middle. I'm sure you've had this too, Dave. Like you're in the middle of, you know, doing something with your kids and something will come out of your mouth or you'll have a reaction and you're like, "Oh my God.
I'm my father.
I'm my dad."
Yep.
You know, it's crazy.
Yep. I'm him. And then when he was doing it to you back in the day, at least, I don't know if you guys had this. I had this. I'd be like, "God, when I have kids, I'm never going to do that." And now you fast forward and you say the things. You're like, "Oh, my God, I am that."
You become that. And what else is I mean, and also, too, is you take for granted, like, the amount of effort and time and, I mean, the sacrifice that your parents make, like, in the moment you don't appreciate it. Like, one of my greatest memories of all time is have my dad come back from work and he was up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He'd iron my clothes, go to work, come home, and then find time to have like a 15-minute catch with me outside. He probably felt awful. He was probably exhausted. And he sat out there for as long as I wanted to sit out there throwing the baseball back and forth and never complained about it once. Not one single time did he ever say anything, but okay, you want to play catch? Let's go play catch.
Yeah. Cause when you're a parent, it makes you happy to make them happy, right? Like, isn't
exactly
that almost
right.
The definition of what a parent is?
Yeah, I mean, that's you do whatever, I mean, to, obviously to a certain extent, yeah, but you do whatever it takes to make your kids happy, regardless of if you feel like crap or not. You battle through it.
Yep, yep. All right, let's go to Nick in Staten Island. Nick, you're next up on 98.7.
How you guys doing? Dave, I just want to send you my condolences. Thank you for coming in today, because you're definitely making a lot of other people's days much better by listening to you. When I was 8 years old, my father passed away. I have two older brothers, and you know, we're all diehard Yankee fans. So in 2003, the Yankees make the playoffs, and my father decides to just buy ALCS Game 7 tickets without thought. And obviously we go to the game, everyone knows what happened, but this ended up being the last game that we all attended together. So, like, that's our moment. Like, my father, my brothers and I, that's our thing. You know, we have pictures of it, pictures of us at the game, frame going around the house. So, you know, that's my last sports moment with him, and it couldn't be a better one.
Wow, that's a special moment to get to relive. And Nick, thanks so much for the phone call. Now, there are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands, avoid close contact with people who are sick, avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you are sick, cover your cough or your sneeze, clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.